Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
Hey, fellow Sony watchers. Back again for another deep dive, and today we are tackling Sony's second quarter 2024 financials.
And we're not just skimming the surface.
Right.
We've got the official financial statements and the full earnings call transcript.
Awesome. So we're really going beyond those headlines and figuring out, you know, what these numbers actually mean for Sony. What's the big picture?
Yeah, like what should people really be paying attention to here?
Exactly.
So overall, Sony is painting a pretty rosy picture.
Uh-huh.
They are talking about record operating income, you know, both for Q2 and the first half of this fiscal year.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. But here's where it gets really interesting. They actually achieved this despite a little dip in overall sales revenue.
So wait, they're making more money, but selling less.
Exactly. It's about profitability over just pure volume.
Okay. I'm intrigued. How does that work?
Well, to really understand this shift, we need to look at each segment of their business.
Okay. So break it down for us. Which segment is the star performer?
Well, right now, it's definitely their game and network services.
The PlayStation Empire.
That's the one. Or GNNS, if you want to use their lingo.
Okay, GNNS, got it. Give us the numbers. How much did gamers contribute to Sony's success?
Get ready for some big numbers. For the quarter, GNNS sales jumped 12% compared to last year.
12%? Not bad.
But that's nothing. Their operating income, get this, it increased by a whopping 184%.
Whoa. 184%. Okay, color me impressed. So are PlayStations flying off the shelves? Is that what's going on?
Actually, no, hardware sales dipped a little bit this quarter.
Interesting. So then where is this massive income growth coming from?
The real star here is third-party software sales. Think all those blockbuster games from other developers that everyone's playing on their PlayStations.
Ah, so it's not just about selling the consoles anymore, it's about the games people are playing on them.
Exactly. And it's a smart strategy, because even if they sell a few less consoles, the games themselves are more than making up for it.
It's kind of like the Razor and Blades model, right?
You got it. Sell the PlayStation and then keep making money from the games. Plus, don't forget those PlayStation Plus subscriptions.
Oh, yeah. People love those.
They're a consistent moneymaker for Sony, and they're up 18% year on year.
Okay, but I got to ask, 184% income growth in GNNS? That's got to be more than just popular games, right?
Yeah.
What else is Sony doing to drive these crazy numbers?
This is where the earnings call transcript gets really interesting.
Okay.
They specifically highlighted the success of Astrobot.
Astrobot. Okay, I got to admit, that one kind of flew under my radar.
Yeah.
What's so special about this game?
Well, it sold like hotcakes. Over 1.5 million copies in a very short time.
Wow.
But more importantly, it's attracting a whole new wave of players into the PlayStation world.
Ah, so it's bringing in new customers.
Exactly. They said a full 37% of Astrobot buyers hadn't bought a Sony game in over 2 years.
Wow. So they're not just catering to the existing PlayStation fans. They're expanding their reach. That's a really smart move.
Yeah, and it actually points to a bigger strategy. Sony's trying to balance these single-player hits like Astrobot with a continued investment in live service games.
Okay, for anyone who is not obsessed with video games like me, explain what that means and why it matters for Sony.
Okay, so think of it this way. Single-player games are like a great novel. You get immersed in the story, you finish it, and then you move on.
Makes sense.
But live service games are more like an ever-evolving city. There's always something new to do, events to participate in, and reasons to keep coming back.
So it's about capturing those gamers who want a game that's basically a lifestyle.
Exactly. And they've had some ups and downs with their live service games in the past, but they're still really committed to making it work.
So it's like a long-term bet for them.
Yeah, and plus they've got this upcoming title that's got the whole gaming world buzzing.
Ooh, you can't just tease us like that. What game are we talking about?
It's Ghost of Yute.
Okay.
The sequel to the smash hit Ghost of Tsushima.
Okay, now that's a game I've heard of. Definitely one to watch. But let's move on from the samurai and gaming world for a second and talk about a different kind of entertainment. Sony Music.
All right, let's dive into that. What's the tune there? Hit song or a little off-key?
Exactly. Give us the scoop.
It's more like a steady backbeat. You know, not quite the headliner, but definitely holding its own.
Okay. Solid, but not spectacular. Got it.
Yeah.
So give us the highlights. What's happening over at Sony Music?
They saw a solid 10% increase in sales for the quarter, and operating income is also up a respectable 12%.
Okay, not bad. Not bad at all. But what really stood out to you about Sony Music's performance?
Well, what's interesting is how they're navigating this changing music landscape. It's not just about, you know, releasing the next big pop song anymore.
Right.
You know, remember that term catalog music they kept mentioning?
Yeah, I kind of glossed over that part. What's the big deal with catalog music?
It's all about how people are listening to music these days. With streaming, you have access to like every song ever recorded.
Yeah, so true.
And what's happening is people are rediscovering all those oldies, those classic tracks in a big way.
You know what? You're right. I've been on a total 90s music kick lately. It's like all those songs I haven't heard in years are suddenly back in my playlists.
Exactly. And Sony is getting ahead of the curve. They've been actively acquiring the rights to these massive music catalogs. Think classic rock, iconic pop hits stuff that never really goes out of style.
So they're banking on nostalgia.
Yeah. They're building this financial fortress on a foundation of like musical memories.
Makes sense. Forget chasing those fleeting trends. They're going for the music that people will always love.
Right. And the numbers back this up. Get this. 73% of music consumed in the U.S. right now is catalog music.
73%. That's insane. I guess those classic tunes really are timeless. So while everyone else is out there hunting for the next viral hit, Sony is just sitting pretty with this huge library of musical gold.
It's a brilliant long-term strategy. They have this steady stream of income from songs that everyone knows and loves.
Okay, I'm officially adding Savvy Music Mogul to Sony's list of titles. But now let's talk about a segment that I'm a little nervous about, Sony Pictures.
Okay, the movie business?
What's the story there? Box office bonanza or straight to DVD bargain bin?
Well, this is where things get a little more dramatic. Sales actually dropped 11% this quarter, and their operating income plunged a pretty hefty 37%.
Ouch. Those are not the Hollywood numbers they were hoping for.
Not quite the happy ending.
So what happened? Did they release a string of flops?
It's actually a combination of factors. They had fewer TV program deliveries, partly due to those production delays from the Hollywood strikes last year.
Right.
And they're also grappling with a pretty tough market in India, which is impacting their media network's business there.
So basically, a perfect storm of external forces and maybe a few internal hiccups, too. Is there any hope for a comeback story here?
Well, don't worry. It's not all doom and gloom.
Okay, good.
They did have some bright spots.
Give us the good news. What were the highlights for Sony Pictures?
Well, they were really happy with the box office performance of the It Ends With Us adaptation.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that one.
It definitely exceeded expectations, which, you know, shows that a good movie can still draw people in, even in a challenging market.
I love a good underdog story. And what about Crunchyroll, their anime streaming service? I feel like anime is having such a moment right now.
You are absolutely right. Anime is huge, and Crunchyroll is riding that wave. They're expanding globally, doing big partnerships with companies like Amazon and YouTube, and just constantly adding new titles.
So even though the overall picture segment took a hit, they've got these potential bright spots that could signal a turnaround.
That's right. They're actually quite optimistic about a recovery in the second half of FY 2024.
Fingers crossed. All right, so let's not forget about those segments that don't always get the spotlight.
Yeah, sometimes they get overshadowed by the, you know, glitz and glam of the gaming and movie world.
Exactly. Let's talk about those unsung heroes. Entertainment, technology and services, and imaging and sensing solutions.
Or ETNS and INSS for short.
Okay. Using the acronyms now. Yeah, I like it. So these are like the backbone of Sony's business, right?
They're the workhorses. They're reliable. They consistently contribute to their success.
And how did those segments perform this quarter?
They both delivered solid results, you know, which is a good reminder that Sony is so much more than just PlayStation and Spider-Man.
Very true. It's easy to forget they have their fingers in so many different tech pies.
Right. So ETNS covers a wide range of products, you know, everything from TVs and audio equipment to cameras and other consumer electronics.
Okay, so the classic Sony products.
And they're still doing well.
Yeah, they saw growth. which means people are still buying those Sony TVs, headphones, and cameras, which is really good news for the company's bottom line.
Awesome. And what about INSS? I gotta be honest, that one always sounds kind of mysterious to me.
Think small but mighty.
Okay.
INSS is all about image sensors. You know those super sophisticated cameras that are packed into basically every smartphone these days?
Ah. So every time someone snaps a selfie or captures a beautiful sunset on their phone, Sony's probably getting a cut.
Exactly. And those smartphones are constantly evolving, you know, adding more cameras, pushing for even higher resolution. So the demand for these tiny but powerful image sensors is only going up.
So Sony is in a prime position to benefit from that trend. Mm. They're not just entertaining us, they're literally helping us capture and share the world around us.
Very well said. Mm-hmm. And they're a leader in this field, you know, constantly innovating, pushing the boundaries of what those sensors can do.
Okay, before I move on, one last question about ETNS.
Sure.
You mentioned they saw growth, but did the earnings call give any clues about their strategy going forward?
Well, one thing they emphasized was inventory control, which, you know, might sound kind of boring, but it's crucial in a market like consumer electronics. It can be so up and down.
Yeah, no point in having warehouses full of gadgets that nobody wants.
Right. It's about striking that balance between meeting demand and managing risk.
Smart. Okay, we've covered a lot of ground here. We have gone through a lot of different segments.
We've explored Sony's diverse businesses, but there's one piece of the puzzle we haven't touched on yet.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
Financial services.
Ah, yes. The world of finance. It's definitely a unique segment for Sony. Very different from their entertainment and tech ventures.
Right.
Think life insurance, non-life insurance, and banking operations, mainly in Japan.
So it's like a completely separate company operating under the Sony umbrella.
Yeah.
How does it all fit together?
Think of it as a steady, reliable source of income.
Okay.
The entertainment and tech businesses can be a little more unpredictable.
Yeah, that's fair.
But financial services provides this kind of stability to their overall portfolio.
It's all about diversification, right?
Yeah.
Not putting all your eggs in one basket, even if that basket is full of awesome video games and blockbuster movies.
Exactly. It's like having a balanced investment portfolio. You know, you spread the risk and you ensure some long-term stability.
Well, Sony clearly knows what they're doing. They're so much more than just a gaming and entertainment giant. It's like they're this multifaceted powerhouse with a really good sense of both innovation and financial smarts.
Couldn't have said it better myself. They're adaptable, they're strategic, and they're always looking for ways to stay ahead of the curve.
All right, we've analyzed a lot of data here and really dug deep into the complexities of Sony's various business segments.
It's been quite the deep dive.
But before we wrap things up, I'm curious, what are the key takeaways you want our listeners to remember? What's the headline of this Sony story?
I think the big takeaway here is Sony's resilience. You know, even though some of their segments are facing challenges, they're still hitting record profits. It really shows how diversified they are, how adaptable they are to this constantly changing market.
Yeah, it's like they have this secret sauce for navigating, you know, uncertainty and coming out on top. What are the ingredients in this recipe for success?
Well, for one thing, they're really good at balancing short-term wins with long-term vision.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Like, take GNS, for example. They're not just banking on those huge blockbuster titles. They're cultivating new audiences with games like Astrobot, while also, you know, still investing in those live service games for the future.
It's like they're playing chess, always thinking several moves ahead, and it seems to be working.
Absolutely. And this strategic thinking goes beyond just gaming. Remember their focus on acquiring those evergreen music catalogs?
Yeah.
That's a perfect example of playing the long game. They're building this solid foundation of revenue that isn't dependent on, you know, whatever's trending at the moment.
It's recognizing the power of nostalgia, those classic tracks that never really go out of style.
Exactly. And let's not forget their ability to spot emerging trends and capitalize on them, like the whole anime explosion.
Oh, yeah. Crunchyroll's killing it.
Crunchyroll's success shows that Sony's not afraid to embrace new markets, cater to those changing tastes.
They're like chameleons, adapting and thriving no matter what the entertainment landscape throws at them.
And even when they stumble a little, like with those challenges in Sony Pictures, they're still optimistic. They're focused on bouncing back. It's like they're not afraid to experiment, learn from their mistakes, and adjust their game plan.
It's a good lesson for any business, really. Don't be afraid to take risks, but always have a backup plan.
For sure. Flexibility and adaptability are so important these days, you know, in such a fast-paced world. And Sony has clearly mastered those skills.
Okay, so to sum it all up, would you say Sony's in a good position for continued success Are they a company worth betting on?
Well, based on their Q2 performance and their overall strategy, I'd say they're looking really strong. They're not just surviving, they're thriving. And they're constantly innovating, diversifying, adapting to keep up with the demands of, you know, these ever-changing entertainment and tech markets.
That's great to hear. I think we can all learn a lot from Sony's approach to business.
Definitely. They're a great example of how a company can stay relevant, stay profitable, and dare I say, even a little bit cool in a world that's constantly changing.
So true. Thanks for joining us for this Sony Deep Dive.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope you learned something new and maybe even got a little bit inspired. Until next time, stay curious out there.
This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.